Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. Joining me today is Elijah Murray. Elijah started his entrepreneurial journey buying and selling misspelled MacBox and iPods on eBay and flipping them for profit. Over the next decade, Elijah dropped out, taught himself to code, co-founded and raised $10 million for a Silicon Valley startup, and even lived on a sailboat for a year. Elijah's current business, Matter Product Studio, builds and incubates software products for Fortune 1000 businesses and early stage entrepreneurs. In addition to Matter, Elijah writes at Gritlist, a weekly newsletter focused on personal growth. Elijah, welcome for joining the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners what you do and what led you there.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm the CEO of Matter Product Studios. That's my day job. And my co-founder and I started about 3 years ago. It's been a long, winding entrepreneurial journey to get here. But in terms of what a typical day looks like, I am a self-taught programmer as well as designer. And so we have a team of about 20 people. We work with a lot of different clients, both early stage entrepreneurs and Fortune 500 companies. And we help them figure out what they should build, how they should build it, what it should look like, and then ultimately build that vision and bring that vision to life. So that's kind of my day job. Is it's a little bit of coding, a little bit of design, a little bit of management, talking to clients and kind of running everything together with my co-founder.
Wonderful. And what made you want to get into coding in the first place?
So I went to school in 2010 is when I started college. And around that time, you know, entrepreneurship has always been super interesting and kind of has this new wave of technology that's accelerating everything. And so I was fascinated with entrepreneurship even all throughout high school. I loved trying to figure out how to work smart, not hard. And so technology is the way to do that, right? Technology is where we're seeing this rampant growth in Silicon Valley with these, you know, crazy success stories and technology really accelerates everything. And so while I knew I wanted to do something, wanted to build a company, be entrepreneurial, I didn't quite know what. And I knew technology was going to play a part of that. And so while in college, I went to school in Philadelphia before dropping out. And I was constantly looking for different ways to partner up with people that knew technology or people that were more technical. And ultimately, I just kept striking out. And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to figure this out for myself. And so I started teaching myself the program.
Awesome. And then what was the process like for there? Like after you figured out how to program and code and all of that stuff, did you kind of begin freelancing before establishing your company or what was that process like?
Yeah, it was exactly that. So when I dropped out, I moved to the Philippines because I wanted to really get away from normal society and just trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing? And so while there, that's where I started to learn to program. And I started picking up freelance clients on what was then Elance and Odesk, which is now, I think they combined it to Upwork now. And so I started getting clients and I was learning as I was going. And it was really great to get paid while learning a skill that I knew was going to set me up to do what I wanted to do. So fast forward a couple of years, I had built out a little bit of an agency. I was doing a lot more services with bigger clients. I had a couple of people working for me and I decided to shake things up again. And I moved to Silicon Valley, not really knowing anyone, not really knowing quite what I was going to do, but I knew that I wanted to go west and get more into technology and kind of go to the next level. And so while out there, probably the only other person I knew in California, I bumped into, I had met him at a co-working space about 6 months prior. And we started catching up and chatting and he told me about a company that he was working on. And so long story short, we ended up partnering up and co-founded my last company, Lenda, which is an online mortgage marketplace.
Very cool. And what was it like actually starting that last company? Is it something that you're still with or something that you sold? Because I think that's really interesting to hear from entrepreneurs who have gotten involved in multiple ventures that they're focusing on.
Yeah. So We ran it together for about 4 years. Ultimately, I left just after we closed our Series A, and then the company was acquired about 2 years later. So that was, you know, I consider that my quote unquote MBA, if you will. It's where I learned about managing people, about hiring people, about growing a company, about fundraising, all these different things that are extremely crucial for running a business and building a product and building a team. And so, you know, it was a very stressful and exhausting time, but it was also one of the most exciting and exhilarating times of my life where, you know, I think I was 21 when we first started out. And so, you know, being 21 in California, raising millions of dollars with my co-founder and figuring out, okay, well, how do you manage people that are 10 years older than you? How do you hire them? How do you hire people that are better than you that know way more and have degrees, whereas you just kind of piece together an education on YouTube? So it was a really interesting and exhausting but wonderful process that got me to where I am.
I can imagine. And I think it's really admirable that you had mentioned that you really had to dive in and teach yourself everything. And I can imagine it was difficult, especially as you shared, having to manage people who were 10 plus years older than you. So it must have felt a little awkward. But I think what you had mentioned about using that company as like your MBA is huge, because oftentimes people don't realize that like experience can actually really give you like the knowledge firsthand and act as something rather than feeling like you have to go with a degree to learn more.
Definitely. I mean, even today, you know, like I mentioned, my co-founder Rich and I are running Matter, and we are constantly looking for talent, whether it's engineers or designers or product managers or anything in between. By and large, we're far more interested in someone that has done something than someone who has gone to school and has something on paper. So I know maybe it's a little antithetical to your student CEO, but you know, the student path, unless you're out there doing something in addition to just learning, you need to be doing. And that's what really teaches you how to go about and build business, build companies, hire and manage people.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it's kind of funny because when I was going through my journey and decided that I was going to take my marketing firm full time, everyone kept being like, well, you don't have real world experience. I'm like, what do you mean I don't have real world experience? I've ran a blog and gone into marketing and freelancing since I was 15. Like, that's experience there. So
exactly.
You're right. It's like people have this like notion of experience being like, once you're 22 and at that graduating age, that's when your experience starts. But it's not true at all. It can start so much earlier than that.
Yeah, I fundamentally agree. I mean, experience starts the minute you start pushing yourself to do more and learn more and be an active contributor and member of the world.
Love that. And what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the biggest thing that I struggled with was the loneliness of it, right? I mean, there's so much hype and excitement about fundraising and startups and building your dream and all this, you know, excitement that comes with the idea of working for yourself and quote unquote being free. And so, you know, that's kind of what I started with by thinking it's going to be this magical journey where all my wildest dreams come true. And while there's definitely truth to that, right, there's tremendous value and fulfillment in pursuing your dreams, pursuing your company, building something for yourself with people of your choosing. There's also a lot of hardship and emotional struggle that comes with it. It's not just the highs and lows of entrepreneurship where, you know, you have good days and bad days where sometimes you know, your key employee quits on you with no notice and you have to scramble to try to figure it out, or you're running low on funds and you need to go figure out how to fundraise and raise more money. Otherwise everything's going under. So there's definitely a heavy emotional aspect to that part of the equation, but also starting out young, all my friends were doing college, right? All my friends were doing things that were far more structured, far more defined. And when you have a clear path, even if it's not the right path for you, but if you do have a clear path, there's a certain amount of comfort that comes in knowing, okay, well, I just need to go to classes and I need to get the best grades possible. And then I'm going to have a summer job. And right, it's a very structured, linear path. And so when you just branch out on your own and you're kind of saying, okay, well, I'm not going to go on this traditional path, I'm going to figure out my own path, that's hard because people don't really relate to you as much anymore. And I had to, you know, start trying to figure out who I wanted to hang around and how I could find other people who understood what I was going through. It's not that I, you know, moved away from my current friend group. No, but those friends couldn't relate to me in the same way that they used to and the same way I used to be able to relate to them. So that was definitely hard.
You're absolutely right. And I'm glad that you brought that up because that is something that I think happens with a lot of entrepreneurs, but especially as you mentioned with being a young entrepreneur. And so that is one of the big reasons why Student to CEO exists, is to kind of have that community and support that you can't really find elsewhere. So as you were kind of going through this difficulty of feeling alone and kind of having this emotional toll on you that you're that owning a business kind of took, what was your like steps or what tips would you recommend for actually kind of getting past that loneliness and surrounding yourself with people who quote unquote get it?
Well, it's probably a little bit different now in this COVID era than what I did before. But the thing that worked the best for me was working out of co-working spaces. And, you know, if you're not familiar with what a co-working space is, but you probably are because they're all over the place now, it's a bunch of small businesses or individuals working collectively out of a single location. And so, you know, it was a default community that I could just tap into readily available. And I remember the first time I sat down at Indy Hall in Philadelphia, which was my very first co-working space. I didn't know what the concept was at first, and I had been looking for an office space, and I found that there's this idea of a shared office space, so it was far cheaper, which was very appealing to me. So I sat down, and it was just kind of this energy that I had been looking for and didn't even really know how starved I was for it, of like-minded people that were all busy working extremely hard to, you know, as independent graphic designers or building businesses or building apps or just all these people that are truly passionate and driven to pursue whatever it is that they want to pursue and then all lumped together. And so being able to actually find a group of people who were like-minded, at least in that aspect, was really rewarding to me. And prior to that, you know, I'd been working out of Starbucks and different coffee shops and out of public spaces and libraries and things like that. And so, you know, all of those never quite worked and the Wi-Fi wasn't that good and other people were doing different things or having louder conversations. So finding your tribe is, I think, really important from an emotional and emotional aspect of being able to have the stamina to just endure the hardships that come with entrepreneurship.
Most definitely. And I mean, as you basically hinted at, the people that you surround yourself with are the ones who push you to do better and be better and just bring so much inspiration, creativity, and productivity to you.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And I learned so many different things from those people and peers that I've incorporated and indoctrinated in my life that have helped me shape who I am today.
Absolutely. And I know you just shared that one of the most rewarding parts of starting your business was being able to find that tribe. But would you say that there was anything else that you think made being an entrepreneur absolutely worth it?
Oh, absolutely worth it or helped make it possible?
Could depend on your perspective.
I mean, I think there's so many things that come with it. For me, and this kind of ties into Gritless, my newsletter that I mentioned, or you mentioned in the pre-roll, is just tenacity. And I think that we live in a world where often we're focused on that instant win or overnight Instagram success or trying to make it rich quickly. And there are just so many different angles in which we see the success, but we don't see the dedication and the hard work that goes into the individual or the corporation making that success. And so, you know, I was of the same mindset. You know, I thought, okay, well, Silicon Valley, build a company, you know, become a millionaire and bada bing, bada boom, it'll be done. What I didn't realize was that it's years and years and years and years and years of beating on your craft and working on getting better, improving yourself, improving what you're doing. And the tenacity part really comes in just that persistence, that raw persistence of continually pushing forward as best as you can day after day, week after week, and year after year. And so that's, you know, with my newsletter, that's some of the stuff that I explore is talking about what are these different traits and aspects that really help drive entrepreneurship home and help you hone those skills in terms of perseverance and figuring out how you can keep going even when you don't feel like it, even when you're not motivated, even if you feel like you're a complete failure and you have no users and no traffic and no revenue, how do you keep pushing past that and keep going? And I think my ability to do that, which I've learned from people I look up to and also from peers and other people in the community, I think that alone, beyond any skill or any ability or any other resource that I have, that I think, that raw sheer tenacity to keep pushing forward even when I don't feel like it, I think that's my greatest strength.
100%, especially because if we gave up at like the first thing that went wrong in our business, then we would have stopped being entrepreneurs years and years ago. So it's like needing to have that strength and persistence to keep going forward despite what gets thrown at you or any changes that you need to make is huge for continuing to build a successful brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really everything. And, you know, some people, again, myself included, but we think that opportunity is about being open to opportunity when it comes so that you can jump on the right one. But if you go too far down that path, what ends up happening is you're afraid of commitment and you don't actually lock into anything because you're so worried that you might miss out on a better opportunity. But if you spend your entire life sitting around waiting for a better opportunity rather than just taking the opportunity that's in front of you and doubling down and just really pouring yourself into it, you're not going to get anywhere. So it's not necessarily about finding the best opportunity. It's about going as far and as hard as you can with the opportunity that's in front of you.
I think that's a great point. And outside of like having that tenacity and being able to focus on the opportunities that are in front of you, do you think that there's anything else that you did specifically that led to your success over the years?
Good question. I think that, you know, figuring out the way in which you work is an important thing. Trying to be as self-aware and honest with yourself as possible. You know, we often have beliefs about ourselves and others that come from other people. It could come from our parents or from society or school or peers. But really trying to be in touch with who you are and knowing where you're weak and also where you're strong. That tie to reality, both internally and also with the world around you, I think also has helped shape me in terms of being able to stay at this for so long and have the success that I've had so far.
Absolutely. And so by going deeper into that, by figuring out like what your strengths and weaknesses are, do you mean by that in terms of like figuring out how you're able to delegate that so that way you're able to focus on the things that you're really good at and really enjoy and kind of outsourcing the rest?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Early on, I met an entrepreneur who said that one of the defining characteristics in his opinion about entrepreneurship was knowing enough. Being a good entrepreneur is knowing enough to tell when someone's BSing you. And so it's not necessarily about knowing everything. And I'm definitely not the best programmer. I'm definitely not the best designer, definitely not the best leader. I'm not the best at anything, but I do know enough about all these little things where, and I'm also, I hope, humble enough to not worry about my ego about bringing in better people. And so by being able to surround yourself with people better than you, and then you're just kind of the glue that makes it happen. You might have the vision or the idea or something like that, but it's everyone else around you that is bringing that vision to life and doing the work. And you're just trying to help make people as open as possible to doing what they need to do and being an unblocker, so to speak. I think that's a really important aspect of just leadership and entrepreneurship in general. In terms of your question about figuring out your strengths and your weaknesses, one thing that I often challenge people to do, and this goes a little bit bigger towards figuring out your purpose and what you want to do just holistically, is if I gave you $10 million tomorrow in your bank account, you're never going to have to work a day in your life, what would you do? And so the thought experiment goes, you know, everyone always says the same things. Well, I would buy X, Y, and Z, and I'd buy this, and then I'd go here, and then I'd travel, and I'd give some to charity, and I'd do this. So once you fast forward past all those same default answers that everyone has, then the real crux of the matter is, what would you do then? And once you start thinking and meditating on that question, what would you do after I've had all the fun, all the experiences, bought all the things that I want to buy, what would you want to spend your time doing thereafter? if you can answer that question, figure out whatever it is that you can make money along the way by doing and pursuing that, I think that is another thing that really helps you succeed. Because if you know what you want to do for the rest of your life, barring money as an obstacle, then if you start now, you'll actually end up somewhere along that path with success down the road.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I feel like what I've seen with a lot of entrepreneurs, especially those who tend to be younger, is that when they think about starting a business, they think about the things that will bring them the most money. So instead of thinking about what they want to do, they're like, well, what's going to help me to become a millionaire super quickly? And so what you just mentioned with that whole scenario of thinking of what would you really want to do when everything else is gone, that is what will help to bring you to success as you keep moving forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's where burnout happens. That's where the lack of, you know, commitment comes into play. Because if you do just, if you're just chasing dollars, it's going to be a pretty rude awakening when you're 3 months in, 6 months in, 2 years in, and you're still chasing this thing. But you realize that it's way harder and way more difficult than you ever imagined. So if you don't actually intrinsically enjoy the work, then you might as well just go get a high paying job or do something else that you don't like where the returns are more guaranteed. So yeah, I think in order to actually do well as an entrepreneur, you need to know what you actually care about, and you can't just do it for the money.
Absolutely. As you've gone through your entrepreneurship journey, if there was one thing you wish you did differently or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
So it's an interesting question, and I fortunately have had the experience of building kind of the two modes of companies. So going out to Silicon Valley and raising millions of dollars in venture capital, and then also now running Matter Product Studio with my co-founder, where we haven't raised a single penny. Just kind of contrasting those two has been a really interesting experience for me, and weighing the pros and cons between the two. And so I think my advice to my former self would be, don't be so enamored with fundraising and the Silicon Valley model and venture capitalism. There is a time and a place for it. It's not to say that it's wrong or that it's bad. And I have a lot of friends that are VCs that help me and guide me in my business and growing in Matter. But when I went out to Silicon Valley originally, I thought that that was the only way to build a company. And it was about raising more and higher rounds and higher valuations and growth without ever really becoming profitable. And knowing what I know now with building Matter and the different types of struggles and the different amount of difficulty that comes with never raising any money, but growing organically, there's a lot of merit to both sides of the equation. And so I think, you know, my advice would be, don't fixate too much on having to do a business one way in the Silicon Valley technology, raise a lot of money, hyper growth approach, but kind of expose yourself to both opportunities. What does it look like if you took your same business or your same business model and said, hey, we need to make revenue. We need to bring in enough revenue to cover our expenses and at least break even inside of 2 years. How do we do that? What does that look like? And how do we get there?
That is a great point, especially because many people probably don't realize that, especially with service-based businesses, you can start the business with almost nothing. I mean, I think when I started my company almost 4 years ago, I probably invested like less than $1,000 between a super simple website, business cards, registering the business, and all of that stuff. And then from there, just kind of grew. And so what you had mentioned is so true, with the fact that instead of thinking about raising all this money to get that hyper growth, you can absolutely do things organically.
Yeah, it's something that's kind of forgotten or at least not thought about as much. But I definitely think that there is tremendous merit in going that route versus the raise fast, grow fast, burn out fast approach.
Right. And so for someone who was in Silicon Valley, because you keep mentioning burnout, which I think is a really great topic to focus on, and it's something that people can easily fall down that rabbit hole. So what have you kind of focused on to avoid feeling burnt out or overwhelmed or stressed and kind of getting really caught up in everything with being an entrepreneur?
Well, first things first, it's never fully avoidable. So you will experience times of despair and depression and self-loathing, and all of that is normal. That is par for the course. But to your point, definitely try to mitigate as much as possible. And I think that kind of comes back to the same thing that I was saying earlier about self-awareness. So just be honest with yourself. If you listen to yourself and you're truly in touch with your needs and how you're feeling, it's not to say that you can't push yourself. Pushing yourself is important, and that's necessary for growth. But you also need to be aware of limits and how you're doing against those limits. So it's something that I definitely struggle with. You know, I was always of the mindset of push myself harder and go further and do more. And I got a lot of good results out of that. But from a multi-year perspective, it's not sustainable, and eventually it will catch up to you. And so I think the earlier you can be okay with not giving, you know, 110% every single day, but giving 90 to 100% consistently and focusing on that consistency rather than the hyper periods of, you know, coding for 14 hours straight. I think that balance of, okay, well, what can I sustainably do day after day, week after week, year after year, and keep at a consistent pace as best as I am able while balancing my needs and my personal life and making sure I have space and I have the headspace to be creative and to keep pushing this forward, and I don't just become bitter and resentful. That balance is something that you really need to look within to try to figure out.
100%. And I'm sure it probably varies from person to person too, but that is definitely one thing I wish I did differently from the very beginning. Was I didn't necessarily glorify hustle culture, but I definitely hustled. And I look back and I just wish I kind of took the time to be able to set more boundaries for myself, because it wasn't even clients that needed boundaries, it was me. And so just set more boundaries for myself and really focus on taking the time for self-care. Because one thing I realized over the years is that the more energy and time that I put into self-care and personal development, the more successful I become. It's like they're so closely linked. And so you don't realize that kind of burning yourself to the ground and working so hard every single day can actually lead you further away from the goals that you want to reach.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And I've gone through that same journey of pushing myself and burning myself out more for myself than for anyone else. I think one of the ideas that really helps me remind myself of this balance and of this self-care is just treating myself and also my mind the same way I would treat muscles with working out. And so, you know, it's very intuitive for us when we're dealing with muscles and working out is, you go to the gym and you work out and you push yourself, but you don't push yourself to the point where you hurt yourself, right? And you don't exert yourself, you know, you go 7 days a week for 5 hours, like that's too much, right? Like maybe you could do it for a week, maybe you could do it for 3 weeks, but it's not healthy and it's not good for you. And so kind of just coming back to the physiology of, okay, well, how would I treat my muscles? How would I treat my body? Well, let me treat my mind and myself the same way, where yes, I don't want to just go to the gym and do whatever is easy and not really strain and not break a sweat, but I also don't want to go and hurt myself by overexerting or doing it too much. And it's in that optimal range between minimal exertion and maximal exertion, trying to figure out, well, how much can I push myself, but doing so in a sustainable and repeatable way. And if you keep just doing that over and over, you're going to just compound and compound and compound your growth over time.
Right. I love all of that. And especially too, if you find that you're getting to the point where you are feeling burnt out, that may be an indication to you that you need to hire someone else to really take some workload off your plate. Because I know that that was something for me, was I realized I was working way too much because I had to. And then finally hiring more people really helped me to be able to kind of take a step back and focus on the things that are super important, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I think anyone who wants to work for themselves, you can do everything yourself. But if you want to actually be an entrepreneur and a business owner, then you have to learn the value of hiring, delegation, and letting go. And part of what comes with that, and I'm sure you've experienced this, is the lack of perfectionism. There's a reason why entrepreneurs go and teach themselves to do things and push and are willing to, you know, put heart and soul into something to make it just right, perfect, and really please their clients. And then there's a reason why other people choose not to do that, right? And those people, generally speaking, are more comfortable being an employee. or a contractor or working for someone else under someone else's direction. And so when it does take come time to start bringing in other people, figuring out how you can build a system where no one's going to give as much as you give to your own business. That's just not possible. And no one else would do it. Otherwise they'd go build their own company. So knowing that you're going to bring in people who aren't going to be quite as passionate as you are, maybe they're extremely passionate, but they will never have that same founder level passion. Bringing in those people and trying to figure out, well, knowing that, how can we solve for that and build a system, right? It's not just about the efforts of an individual anymore, of myself. It's about building the system that can make sure that we collectively produce the best product possible. And that's kind of the transition and growth from going from just building it yourself and doing it yourself and then scaling it up to other people in a system where ultimately you're completely replaceable and the system's running itself.
Absolutely. And everything that you just said reminded me of a quote that a former podcast guest said. It was Emma Cohen from Final Straw. And her quote was, "I am not final, the team is final." And I was like, wow, that is like such a powerful statement, but so true. And I think it totally encapsulates everything that you were just saying and totally resonates with that whole ideology.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'll have to remember that.
Why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
Well, I would actually say I don't think it is. I think starting a business is the right path if it's the right path for you, which sounds kind of cliche, but I don't think this path is the right path for everyone. So with that caveat being said, if you do feel like this is something that you want to go down and explore and you're interested in entrepreneurship, the value of starting young is that you just have more time. It's not to be morbid that we're all going to die and you're going to run out of time. No, that's not the case at all. But if you're going to, if you know you're going to want to start a company at some point, you might as well start now. And in this day and age, there's no difference between a 12-year-old with an iPad and a 40-year-old with a 20-year-old career. You have access to the internet in the same way. You can build your persona online the same way. And you can hire anyone anywhere in the world and create value. So if you definitely are interested, there's no reason to not start right now. Whatever age that is, start right now. If you're 60, start right now. If you're 12, start right now. So I think, you know, the value that you gain from doing it is, again, it compounds. So the earlier you start, the longer time horizon you have to compound that value and get better and better at your craft.
So true. I love that perspective. And Elijah, you shared so much great advice throughout this last episode that I'd love to ask you if that there was one last piece of advice you could share with our listeners, what would it be?
One last piece of advice. I would say that, again, just kind of hammering on that last point, really embracing the time that you have right now and just going for whatever it is that you care about. And one thing that people get hung up on, I believe, is that they think that if I start exploring something or start building a company, well, then I'm trapped and I have to do that. And so you should commit to continually trying to improve yourself and continually trying to build what you want to build, but also know that that's fluid. You're going to change who you are. You're going to adapt. You're going to grow and be open to growing on that path as well. So it's not about just finding the perfect thing right now and going completely after it. It's about dedicating and committing yourself to keep exploring and keep growing and just start today.
100%. Now, I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Absolutely. If you want to check me out, I'm generally on Twitter at Elijah Murray. And then also you're welcome to subscribe to my newsletter, which is gritlist.co. where I share a weekly article about personal growth, self-improvement, and entrepreneurship.
Perfect. And I'll link to those in the show notes as well, so that way people are able to click through and access you from there. But Elijah, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thanks so much for having me, Ashley.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.